Brian Lehrer on WNYC. An update now on the school bus strike in New York City, now in its third week, with more than 100,000 kids figuring out other ways to get to school. Just this morning, the union announced that their proposal to have a 2 to 3 month cooling off period was rejected by the city. So joining us now is the international president of the Amalgamated Transit Union, Larry Hanley. Mr. Hanley, welcome to WNYC.
Good morning, Brian. It's a pleasure to be here.
What exactly was this proposal that was rejected by the city?
Well, meeting with Judge Milton Mollin, who, by the way, was the mediator who settled this issue in 1979, and he's very familiar with it. The Central Labor Council proposed that we agree to a cooling off period in which we would suspend strike activities, and the city would suspend its bidding process, so that we could get in there and have a discussion about what the real cost problem is with respect to school bus transportation. On that suggestion from the Labor Council, with the mediator's suggestion also, we agreed to do it. We agreed that we would return immediately to work if the city would suspend its process to eliminate worker protections so that we can have a discussion, and the mayor has rejected that.
Now, you say that the costs, investigate the costs. The city has an obligation to the taxpayers to cut out waste where possible. And do you have to admit that paying close to $7,000 per child, or about $30 a day, to transport a child to school seems high? That's comparable to pay for a livery car to take each child to school in many cases.
Well, Brian, first, if it were true, I would say, yeah, that would be a problem. But the mayor has falsely framed this by saying that costs have escalated from $79 million to $1 billion, and pointing to worker wages by saying the way to solve this is to eliminate employee protections. When we met the other day at Gracie Mansion with the mediator, with Judge Mollin and the bus companies, I asked them why they had remained silent while they have been accused of gouging the city. And they gave us many reasons why the costs themselves, the gross costs, have escalated. And they're really rooted in things like charter schools, where through the expansion of charter schools, children have needed more buses to get around town. It's also related to the fact that this city has 25% of the special needs children in the entire country. And No Child Left Behind policies have created extensive routes that take children from New York City to as far away as Connecticut. And the level of service has more than tripled in this period of time. None of this has to do with worker wages. Worker wages have, in fact, gone up less than 1% when you count inflation in that entire period. So the mayor really has created a myth that connects somehow workers. And I want you to know, Brian, that many of our members who work full-time in this industry receive food stamps because their wages are so low. And the mayor has decided to attack them, to attack working mothers who are matrons on buses, and make them the scapegoat for what are, in fact, changes in the city's transportation policies.
But I've heard. I'm surprised to hear you say food stamps. I've heard from others that these bus drivers started about $30,000. It goes up to about $60,000, and with overtime, they can make a lot more than that. Is that not accurate?
It's not accurate. The 40% of the workers who are on strike are matrons. Their top salary is $26,000 a year. The top salary for a bus driver in this industry is $51,000 a year. So the numbers that you're hearing are exaggerated. And in fact, when we compared them to statistics on poverty, the majority of our members live at or near poverty in New York City.
So now there are replacement workers, scabs from your point of view. They've crossed picket lines. Some drivers from a non-striking union have started and working, and other drivers were hastily trained to work as matrons. Are you worried that your local union will be busted if this goes on much longer? What's your path to victory here?
Well, I mean, I'm concerned that, you know, every worker in America is being busted. And you know, this strike is just one symptom of what's happening around the country. This is Wisconsin in New York City. But also, if I can, I want to get back
Wisconsin,
to the
court. You mean the end of collective bargaining, or the attempted end?
Yeah, absolutely. What the mayor is trying to do is rip from beneath the industry the platform on which labor peace has been built, the platform on which stability has been built, and the platform on which experienced matrons and school bus drivers have maintained their employment for the last 50 years. Every mayor before Mayor Bloomberg has sat down and agreed to this type of policy. And there's no excuse for the mayor not only to not agree to it, but to go out with fantastic numbers that have nothing whatsoever to do with employee protections. You know, one of the things they've done is they have shifted from using school buses to vans, tripling the number of vehicles that are on the road moving kids around the city. That increased cost. We have not increased cost by increasing workers' salaries.
You know that seniority systems have increasingly bad reputations. So when you ask for employee protection plans to be included when a new company takes over a bus route, a lot of people are going to hear that and say, well, maybe not. Maybe they should have the ability to assess each driver's quality and value and hire those who they think are going to do the best job and at the best cost for the taxpayers. Why shouldn't they have that right?
Well, they do. And in fact, the Board of Education continually assesses the performance of every driver and matron in this system. The Board of Education has the right and exercises the right to discipline and fire people who don't perform. And that's a constant, ongoing basis. What remains through that process is a group of highly skilled, highly experienced bus drivers and matrons who the parents and children love, who deliver our kids safely every single day all over the city of New York and now to even other states. So there is no such thing. It's a myth to think that somehow saying to workers that they can follow their work if some other company comes in and takes the contract over really ought to be exposed. It is not true.
Here is one of your drivers, Tommy Nero, who was on the picket line on this issue, and he spoke with WNYC reporter Beth Furtick.
Well, the EPP is the employee protection provision, and that's what, if my company was to lose work tomorrow, we would follow the work to whatever company would go. In other words, I work for Hoyt. If he lost his contract tomorrow, I would be with Varsity or Pioneer or whoever would take the work.
So he is saying there, isn't he, that he would be guaranteed to have a job if a new company took over a bus route. And so I repeat the question, why should everybody have that privilege?
Well, because in the absence of this, what you're going to have is wage competition among the companies, meaning other companies will come in and bid these jobs at minimum wage. And if the city only looks at the lowest bidder, they will then bring in companies that will gouge the workforce. And there's no reason why the people of this city, you know, I just listened, by the way, to the segment before with Ed Koch saying how much he fiercely loved this city. You can't fiercely love this city and not fiercely love its school bus drivers and its matrons. These are the people who provide safe transportation to children. And the notion that those people, by a billionaire, that a billionaire has to take those people and force them into wage competition with the minimum wage workers is just plain wrong on its own. But in addition, what you will have is a constant churning, a Walmartization of the school bus industry so that we never have experienced drivers again. We never have experienced matrons. We simply have poor, struggling people who can't feed their kids driving our school buses.
The mayor has stayed out of the negotiating room. That's a huge issue for you. It's been you guys and the bus companies. The mayor says when they tried to impose an employee protection plan in the last similar contract, a court struck it down. Why are you arguing that this would be legally different?
Well, first of all, that court case was not on point. It did not deal with the facts that are specific to this industry. But beyond that, we all know that there are numerous ways in which the city, the state, and the federal government implement a policy that creates security for workers. The prevailing wage laws, for example, in the city do that. There are other bidding processes that are completely, unquestionably legal that allow for best value bidding, for example. The mayor could do this if he wanted to. He is hiding behind a court case that really is not directly related to our people.
Are employee protection plans used in most other school districts that rely on private bus contractors?
I don't know about most. They're used in many. They are often less formal than this, but this is a much bigger system than any place else in America. So it has been formalized here and it has been very successful. And it's very similar to what the federal government does with a thing called the Service Contract Act, which guarantees the same protections for workers.
Still at an impasse. The Amalgamated Transit Union and the city and the bus companies, the school bus driver strike in New York City, in its third week. We thank the international president of the Amalgamated Transit Union, Larry Hanley. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.